Welcome to the Line Life Podcast. I'm Jeff Postlewaite of T&D World, and today we're bringing you more stories of the grit, courage, and inspirational teamwork that it takes to be a line worker.
Thank you for tuning in to the T&D World Line Life Podcast, produced by Endeavor Business Media, a division of Endeavor B2B. My name is Amy Fishbach, and I'm the head of content for T&D World and also the host of the Line Life Podcast. Before I dive into today's episode, I invite you to become part of our Line Life podcast community by searching for the Line Life podcast in your favorite podcasting app or going to linelife.podbean.com and clicking follow in the top right. We air interview-style episodes on the first and third Fridays of each month and also audio stories in our In Case You Missed It series featuring articles that appeared in our print magazine on the second and fourth Fridays of each month. If you have a comment on this episode or a suggestion for a future guest, please reach out to me. You can email me at afishbach@endeavorb2b.com or reach out to me on LinkedIn or Instagram at Lineman World. I'd love to hear from you. Now let's move on to today's episode. Welcome back to the In Case You Miss It series for the Line Life Podcast. Today, I'm narrating another article that appeared in the November 2025 print issue of T&D World magazine. This article is about a very special project in Northern Canada. If you or your team are working on an interesting project out in the field, we'd love to hear about it. You can send me an email at afishbach@endeavorb2b.com with your project photos and a description of the project, and I'll follow up with you to help you share your story in T&D World magazine. Also, before we move on to this audio story, I wanted to announce a very exciting new feature that I'll be including in our Lineman Life newsletter. It'll be called Line Life Listens, where I'll be releasing different playlists each month for our Line Life listeners who are out on the road or relaxing at home. For our first playlist, we'll focus on all the songs related to the line trade, starting, of course, with the song Wichita Lineman by Glenn Campbell. The song was also remade by a lot of other artists, and I urge you to listen to some of those renditions on your favorite music app. We'll also be featuring some of the other songs throughout the years that focus on the line trade. If you can think of a song you'd like added to that first playlist, please reach out to me on social media at Lineman World on Instagram, or again, you can email me at afishbach@endeavorb2b.com. For our second playlist, I plan on creating a list of songs that you can listen to while you're out on the road responding to storms to get you revved up for storm duty. For our third one, I'll focus on the International Lineman's Rodeo and feature some of the songs you'll likely hear out on the International Lineman's Rodeo grounds. Because the International Lineman's Rodeo Week is only about 6 months away, in our next In Case You Missed It episode, I'll be featuring the two rodeo-focused articles that appeared in our December 2025 issue of T&D World magazine. Today, we're going to focus on a story that focuses on a project for the First Nations in Northern Canada. This article was titled The Lion That Brings Light to 17 First Nations. The Wataynikaneyap Power Transmission Project has connected 17 remote First Nations to Ontario's power grid, replacing diesel with clean, reliable electricity through a historic Indigenous-led partnership. This article was authored by Gary Smith and Karen Whalen. The Wataynikaneyap Power Transmission System has transformed electricity delivery for 17 First Nations in Northwest Ontario, Canada. For years, these remote communities relied on diesel generators. But this $1.9 billion Canadian dollar project, whose name means line that brings light, has greatly improved energy access. Owned jointly by 24 First Nations, or 51%, in partnership with Fortis Incorporated and other private investors, the project underscores the power of partnership and shared vision in achieving sustainable energy solutions. The project encompasses 1,118.5 miles of transmission lines and 22 substations, connecting remote First Nations to the Ontario Provincial Power Grid. Construction began in 2020 and was completed in May 2024. This extensive network enhances energy reliability for communities that face the challenges of managing diesel-generated power. An innovative partnership. At the heart of the project is the success of 24 First Nations working together and a strong connection between the First Nation partnership and Fortis. The partnership exemplifies how teamwork can overcome hurdles in the delivery of safe, reliable, and clean energy. Fortis, a diversified leader in the North American regulated electricity and gas industry, with headquarters in St. John's, Newfoundland, and Labrador, was selected as partner and project manager in 2015 over six other bidders because it shared the First Nations vision to maintain majority ownership. After 25 years, the First Nations will own 100% of the transmission system, creating an unprecedented model of Indigenous ownership and Canadian infrastructure and empowerment. As Marguerite Kinnequinash, CEO of Waate Kaniyap Power, reflects, owning infrastructure in our homelands and building a solid foundation for future generations has been a success. This accomplishment is based on the collective vision and direction of all the 24 First Nations working together and supported by our partner, Fortis. The urgent need. The motivation behind this project has deep roots, tracing back over 35 years, with dedicated First Nations leadership and many others at the forefront, navigated by Kinnequinash. Until now, the 17 remote First Nations were not connected to the Ontario provincial power grid. Over 20,000 residents relied on unreliable and costly diesel-powered electricity, transported only during winter on ice roads or expensive airlift costs, resulting in challenges for community life. Diesel generators often operated at maximum capacity, resulting in load restrictions and leading to power outages, school closures, and food spoilage. First Nations were unable to connect new homes to power or increase existing services due to power being at capacity. The financial burden was significant, with Ontario's Independent Electricity System Operator, or IESO, estimating diesel costs at around $90 million annually. Governance, leadership, and engagement. Completing this complex transmission megaproject required immense leadership. The project was guided by an effective governance framework that ensured strategic direction and equal First Nations partnership with one voice. The principles established essential expectations for respecting First Nation lands and rights and ensured First Nations retained decision-making authority. Waate Kaniyap Power, a licensed transmission company established for the project, is governed by a board of directors that includes two Fortis representatives, two First Nation partnership representatives, and an elder advisor. The board chair and CEO are both First Nation representatives, and the COO and CFO are from Fortis. Fortis, with over 140 years of utility operations experience, drew on industry veterans and experts from its companies, including ITC Holdings Group, a large independent electricity transmission company in the U.S., to lead project management. Fortis managed the construction of the project through Waate Kaniyap Power Project Management Incorporated. This team is responsible for everything from regulatory compliance, engineering, construction management, and operations. First Nations chiefs, elders, and tribal councils provided tremendous guidance and leadership and a solid foundation rooted in their culture, language, and way of life. They effectively represented their communities to realize their vision of clean, reliable power and maintain infrastructure ownership. Utility contractor Valor Construction, a Quanta Services company, was the engineering procurement and construction, or EPC, contractor. Hatch, a global engineering and project management firm, was the owner's engineer, while Mott MacDonald provided independent engineering oversight services. Extensive engagement with First Nations officials was conducted. Without their consent, the project could not have proceeded. A community liaison was established for each of the First Nations communities. Regular meetings, engagement, and transparent communication channels were established to address concerns, share updates, and gather feedback. Much of the community engagement and preparedness was facilitated through OP Capuin Services LP, OSLP, owned entirely by the 24 First Nations. 55 training programs and nearly 3,000 engagements with leaders, community members, and elders were conducted. Effective communication was also a cornerstone of the project. All newsletters and bulletins were translated into Anish Ini Moen to ensure the information was accessible. Project funding was secured through a multifaceted framework involving financial support from the Canadian and Ontario governments, First Nation, Fortis, and participation from five of Canada's major banks. Constructing the system. To connect the 17 remote communities to the Ontario electrical grid, Wataynikaneyap Power had to conceptualize, design, and build a complete energy network, including 22 substations and an 1,800-kilometer transmission line comprised primarily of 230 kV and 115 kV lines. The vast remoteness and size of the project footprint intensified the planning, engagement, communication, and ingenuity required to make this project a reality. The energy network covers a large landmass nearly the size of Germany. 16 of the 22 substations and half of the transmission line were only accessible during winter. This meant nearly a year's work had to be compressed into just 3 months when winter roads and ice roads were established. The project's workforce increased from a couple hundred employees to 1,400 during the winter months, during which they worked in challenging weather conditions. Winter was also critical for materials planning, as anything needed for the upcoming construction season had to be transported a year in advance. The project required meticulous planning and coordination, leading to comprehensive technical specifications for design, materials, and construction methods. Customized document management tools provided near real-time access throughout the process, while extensive geotechnical work ensured optimal structure design and placement. Originally designed with wooden structures, the project shifted to steel towers. Although typically more expensive, declines in global steel prices and the benefit of installing in challenging northern terrain made this option more cost-effective. This change, advocated for by the First Nations, enhanced fire and weather protection, reduced environmental impact, and increased job opportunities. Materials were procured globally, adhering to special reliability standards for a remote transmission line in northern Canada. Over 90,000 helicopter hours were logged for tower erection, insulator hanging, transmission line stringing, and transport. Extensive matting minimized the ground footprint, and the work schedule aligned with First Nations land use guidelines safeguarding the environment and wildlife. The leadership and expertise required for project success were evident throughout construction. One notable example was the COVID-19 pandemic. 2 months after construction began in January 2020, the World Health Organization declared the pandemic. The risks were significant as workers across North America traveled to First Nations communities with limited medical resources. Facing the threat of a shutdown, the project leadership teams quickly worked together with public health officials, the First Nations, and partners to develop a comprehensive COVID-19 management plan. The health risks to the communities were very real, but so too was the risk of stopping the project. Delivering reliable power to the communities was crucial. Ultimately, the project was classified as an essential service and was granted permission to proceed. Advancing electricity for First Nations. The Wataynikaneyap Power Transmission System is creating sustainable, long-term opportunities with clean, reliable power already transforming lives. New homes, schools, health facilities, and fitness centers have been established. Kasabunika Lake First Nation added floodlights to its sports field, allowing recreational sports to continue into the evening, while Pinganginkum First Nation enjoyed Christmas lights for the first time in over a decade. The project is one of the most impactful projects Fortis has ever been involved in. The successful completion of this project is a testament to our commitment to our First Nations partners and their unwavering dedication to turning this vision into reality. Access to clean, reliable, and abundant energy will empower First Nations and pave the way for a brighter, more sustainable future for generations to come. Seeing the immediate and profound impact of the Wataynikaneyap Power Transmission Project on the communities it serves has been truly humbling, said David Hutchins, President and CEO of Fortis Incorporated. The Wataynikaneyap Power Transmission System is a powerful example of how public-private partnerships can enhance access to clean and reliable energy, especially in the face of growing global electricity demands. This Indigenous-led initiative illustrates a hopeful path forward for energy innovation, paving the way for a brighter, more equitable future for all. And now here's a little bit about the authors. With 4 decades of experience in the energy sector, Gary Smith currently serves as the Executive Vice President of Operations and Technology at Fortis Incorporated. He oversees operations spanning $73 billion in assets and 9,800 employees, ensuring safety, reliability, and cybersecurity across Fortis's regulated utilities in Canada, the U.S., and the Caribbean. Karen Whelan is a corporate communications advisor at Fortis Incorporated, where she supports both internal and external communications. She is a certified strategic communications management professional, or SCMP. To see all the great photos from this project and also the story on our T&D World website, please go to www.tdworld.com. Again, if you're working on an interesting project out in the field, I'd love to hear about it. Make sure you reach out to me on social media or at afishbach@endeavorb2b.com. And again, congratulations to Fortis and the First Nations on this line that's going to bring light to Northern Canada. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Line Life podcast produced by Endeavor Business Media, a division of Endeavor B2B. Be sure to subscribe or follow the Line Life podcast in your favorite podcasting app so new episodes will be delivered straight to you. For more insights, you can visit our website at tdworld.com/podcasts or linelife.podbean.com. You can also connect with us by following us on Instagram at Lyman World or on Facebook, LinkedIn, or X. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Line Life podcast.